cycle.
Welcome to the 1 o'clock no sour haha funny hour. We are back on the no sour haha funny power hour. What is it, Greg?
The no sour fun time haha power hour.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour, where we are going to lighten things up after a fairly heavy first hour, a slightly less heavy second hour, and now we're going to actually have some fun by starting off with the question, what is the most Wisconsin thing you say unconsciously? 844-967-2789. Because I think after 17 years of not living in Wisconsin, I often would be met with, oh, you're from Wisconsin. You don't have an accent. And I said, yeah, I dropped that when I was acting. And when I first started dating my now husband, there were some very Wisconsin things that he said, like finishing most questions with, or no. And it stuck out a lot when we first started dating. And now I catch myself saying it. And so here to talk about Milwaukee-ese, which I didn't even know was a thing, Wisconsin dialects, and just linguistics in general is Professor Joe Salmons, who is a linguist at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I'm so excited to dive into all of this language, dialect, lexicon with you. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Thanks for having me. That's just the perfect way to start. The we call those things tag questions, things like or no and Aina and don't you know and things like that. And they are more common in Wisconsin than they are in other places. And we've got really distinct ones here. So that's just a perfect setup.
So why are they more common here than other places?
I can't prove this in a court of law.
Okay.
But I've got a hunch that I'm pretty sure is right. The immigrants who came here in the mid-19th century spoke languages that use a lot of these tag questions. So in most kinds of German, in Dutch, and a lot of kinds of Scandinavian languages and so on, it's just you end tons of sentences just with a tag question. And everybody does it sometimes, right? I'm from the South, and we say the weather's supposed to get better, right? And things like that. But we don't do it as much as people do here. And I'm pretty sure that that's come from that immigrant past. So you start speaking another language, and sometimes you do it and you keep those pieces. The Erno is probably kind of a translation from German. And sometimes we use the ones that everybody else uses, like don't you know, or isn't that right, or something like that. But I'll bet you money that's what's going on.
Oh, that's super interesting. So that's like, so I first found your name because there was recently an article about Milwaukee-ese and how it is not disappearing so much as it's changing. But I guess I just asked Jane, who's lived in Southeast Wisconsin for most of her life. I was like, I didn't even know this was a thing. So what is Milwaukee-ese?
Can I tell you a secret?
Sure.
Milwaukee-ese is probably not exactly a thing. Southeast Wisconsin has a whole bunch of different distinct ways of talking. And in the late 19th century, early 20th century, mid 20th century, they got a whole bunch, people developed a whole bunch of stereotypes about speech in the city. WTMJ did a radio show for a while called Wisconsin Talk, and they published a booklet about it. And what it was people speaking with different immigrant accents. So they had people speaking with Norwegian accents and Polish accents and German accents and Yiddish accents and Irish accents and so on. And so that was kind of Milwaukee-ese as it was talked about at that point. But there's probably never been any kind of stable variety of English that was specific to Milwaukee. Okay. You think about, go from Milwaukee down to the Illinois line, and somewhere for some features it's Kenosha, some features it's Racine, some features it's South Milwaukee. You see sort of a gradual transition toward more Chicago-like stuff. So this, it's not some clean thing that you can just isolate. It's a bundle of features.
Well, we're talking to Professor Joe Salmons, who is a linguist at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And so I think as we're talking about, because recently Jane and I were talking about the show Ted Lasso and how many different dialects you can hear of different English dialects you can hear on that show. And we were having a debate whether or not there's more different dialects in the United States than how many there are in that tiny little island of the UK. Because I said exactly what you said, which is that if you listen to Gretchen Whitmer versus Tony Evers, they're both definitely from the Midwest, but they're not from the same place. And the same thing even with Milwaukee versus Chicago, it's subtle, but it's different.
That's absolutely right. There is a view that has been developing for 25 or 30 years now, with lots and lots of evidence behind it, that American dialects are getting more different from each other and not more alike. So everybody thinks that the media and whatever is making us all talk the same. But in fact, in many, many ways, we're becoming more distinct from one another. Certain features are fading out. So you don't hear people saying, you know, Charlie Behrens, you don't hear people saying the dim, dare, does as much as you do in old recordings of Wisconsin. But lots and lots of features are getting more distinct from one another, including in the upper Midwest, really dramatically.
Joe, I always thought it was interesting because, and I don't know if this is accurate, but we used to make fun of people from Cudahy because it was Anahe Cudahy, and they seemed to have more of that Wisconsin easy accent. And it's not like it's 40 miles away.
So this is a really interesting thing, and it's something that we're just starting to, linguists in general are starting to look at and trying to understand, and that is, why do people make certain assumptions, develop certain stereotypes about the way that people in certain places talk? When, so I'm not from here, I'm from North Carolina, Western North Carolina. My wife is from here, and I have exactly the same experience that Kristen has with all of the, oh my God, you didn't just say that, did you, things. But when I moved here, I heard a lot of stuff about, oh, I'm from Milwaukee, you can tell by my accent. And of course, I couldn't tell. It took a long time to learn that. But the places, before I learned about Cudahy, the place that I heard about all the time was Sheboygan. And people from Sheboygan would say, I'm from Sheboygan, I speak Sheboyganese. And they were so proud of it. And really positive about it. And really, everybody had their set of features that they could point to. And Cudahy somehow got that as well.
And so that's so interesting to me. So it's like, I'm interested of like, how is it because like a dialect just an accent, or is it an accent with the colloquialisms and the lexicon that is unique to that area of just the words that like a bubbler? Or is it both? Is it both the words and how you pronounce those words?
It's everything. It's how you deal with different social circumstances. What do you say when somebody sneezes? So that's a word, but it's also part of a bigger way that we interact with each other. So in the part of the South I come from, our grammar is really dramatically different. A lot of things that people up here think are just wrong. So for me, I regularly say things like they was instead of they were. And I mean, I don't do it when I'm lecturing or when I'm in class or when I'm writing an article, but in casual circumstances, I do it. And if I spoke the way I'm speaking now with my family, they would say, why are you doing that? Why are you putting on airs because you've been living up north? We have all sorts of things that vary regionally. So in the South, we can say things like Mike should and could oughta and things like that. And up here, if I use those things, people don't understand. We have some grammatical things up here that are not readily understood in some parts of the country. So in most of eastern Wisconsin, sometimes in other places, sentences like, hey, come here once, sound just perfectly normal to people. Not yeah.
I say okay. I say
we're both, for people not watching, we're
I say this all the time. I say that all the time.
So when if you go to North Carolina and you say that, you should just be prepared for people to say, wait, what does that mean?
So
that's, I mean, that's part of the dialect.
It's part of the dialect. And it's interesting because it's we all speak the same language, and yet these like little things that stick on that make it very, you get a double take from someone in a different part of the country. And so I want to, after I know we have a couple more minutes, so I don't know if I should ask this question now or when we come back from the break, because I'm interested in what you said about our feelings about how people talk and what we immediately make these associations and like how it works with like our in-groups and out-groups. Because you, Jane is married to someone who is British, and so he has a British accent. And I think most British accents, Americans, when you hear that, we assume that you're smart, right? Maybe not all of them, maybe not a Cockney accent, but, you know, most, the Queen's English and whatnot, versus certain ideas about the South, certain ideas of like a deep Massachusetts, Boston accent, but then also the assumptions of a Midwest accent that were very nice, but maybe a little dim. And so I know we can't fully get into it now because we only have less than 2 minutes till we go to the break, but I'd love to hear more about what you are finding in linguistics as far as, it's not even just regionally how dialects move as osmosis, but then also what forms our opinions about those dialects when we, it's not the way we're talking, it's how someone else is talking.
So one thing that I think we're pretty clear on at this point is that this is not really about language. So Jane's husband, depending on where he's from, probably does not pronounce R's at the ends of words. And that is part of why we have that sort of posh understanding of British English. But if you have the Southern stereotype, sheriff stereotype or something, you get the opposite reaction. So it's not about language per se. It's not about the actual features. It's about how we think about groups of people.
All right. Well, so we're going to continue that conversation when we come back. Our guest this half hour is Professor Joe Salmons, who's a linguist at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. If you have something to add as far as the most Wisconsin thing you know you say, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are talking to Professor Joe Salmons, a linguist at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. If you have any questions for him about why we talk the way that we talk, you can give us a call or a text at 844-967-2789. And so I'm sure this is still developing, but I think it's, we all know that we have our biases over when we hear a different accent or we hear you know, AAVE and different grammar uses that is very natural. As you said, for you in North Carolina, certain things that isn't grammatically correct, but it's just how you talk. And so I guess what, as much as our language is formed by past immigration to the area that we live in, like what informs our attitudes about how other people talk?
So I think it is, there's a complex of things here. One is really just the evaluations that we have of other groups. And those are really automatic, unconscious. The brain makes those decisions very, very fast. You hear an accent and you categorize people. You categorize them by age. You categorize them by gender. You often categorize them by race and ethnicity. And that means that language can very easily be used to discriminate in housing or job interviews and so on. So that's a big piece of it. But how those things get formed is something we're still looking at. We're looking at it in Wisconsin, where we don't see references to a specific kind of talking in Wisconsin. I've searched newspaper databases and other things for a long time, and it's the mid-20th century before we get people talking about distinct accents in Wisconsin. So we're still in the process of forming that and forming those associations. And the associations are exactly what you said, that people here are friendly. We did a survey a few years ago. We got almost 2,000 responses to it. And people said, does Wisconsin English sound friendly to you? And people overwhelmingly said, yes, absolutely. Almost nobody said no. And we asked, do you think Wisconsin English is correct English? And people overwhelmingly said no, but not a real strong no. So it's not too correct, but it's also not too incorrect. But so we're not at a point where, I mean, so Charlie Behrens, how would he fare in a job interview? How do you fare in a job interview if you have a heavy Appalachian accent like I used to have? Or if you use African-American language? Those are real issues, and they're really variable. They're changing all the time, and so I think there's hope there that we can get better.
And do you? Oh, go ahead, James.
What is the most Wisconsin thing that you say? 844-967-2789. Texter from the 414 says people from Racine say stop and go lights.
Yeah. Yes. Joe, what, since moving to Wisconsin, is there anything you've adopted that you now catch yourself saying?
I don't want to answer that question.
Ooh, confessional hour. I love it.
So I've adopted certain things. I definitely use more tag questions than I used to. I don't say Aina. But I'm sort of nervous about using a lot of stuff. So stop and go light is just a great one. It's really, really variable. More older people than younger people use it. And it's used more in certain parts of the state than in other parts of the state. But I can't use it. I'm not Wisconsin enough to say that. And when I ask in class now, I'll get maybe a third of a class of undergraduates from all over the state who say it.
Okay. What other questions do you ask in your class as far as what's typical for other Wisconsin kids as they come to Madison that they say or don't say?
I ask open-ended questions. I do exactly what you're doing. I ask people, what's the most Wisconsin thing you say, or what do you say that you think is Wisconsin? You get a lot of interesting stuff. People are now pretty aware of the pronunciation of words like bag and ag, like in agriculture, so that people say beg or big. Not everybody does it. Not everybody's aware of it. What's sometimes most hilarious is I give public talks around the state. And a couple of years ago, I gave one in Stevens Point, 110, 125 people in the room. And I opened by saying, what's Wisconsin? What sounds Wisconsin to you? And the first answer from a bunch of people was bubbler. Mm. And I said, so how many of you actually say bubbler? Like 6 or 7 hands went up. So everybody identifies bubbler as Wisconsin, but lots of people in Wisconsin don't actually use bubbler. So you've got these weird mismatches all over the place.
That's super interesting as far as going back to kind of the Charlie Behrens thing, as far as the tropes that we identify and, you know, take pride in. And like in replace of like, what do we actually say? But I will say I the ones that I know I do, I definitely have heard myself say, or no, I definitely, every once in a while catch myself saying bag badly. And then I certainly have started saying ope again when I unconsciously bump into something or someone, which is fine. It's charming, right?
it's it's charming. I'm not going to tell you how long I lived here before I realized that Ope was something that people said.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just completely missed it didn't register it for a long time.
Is there an equivalent in the South of when you, it's kind of like you exchange it for like, oh, I'm sorry, or like an excuse me. Is there something like that in North Carolina?
I don't think we have a regionally distinct one.
All right. Well, Professor Joe Salmons, this has been so fun. We'll definitely have to have you back for more conversations on language and dialects, because this was a very good time.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right. Well, stay tuned. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, some weird food news. We got some other texts. Maybe come back to the conversation at the top of the hour. But this is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin, to the No Sour Haha Fun Time Power Hour. And what's more fun than voting? Is there anything more fun than voting?
I love voting.
I love voting too. Well, see, Dan Schaefer, who was on earlier, said he was leaving in between being on our show and Dueling Tangents. He was going to go vote.
Right.
So I'll have to tell Luke to make sure that he asks him that when he's on Dueling Tangents at 2:30 today. But just a reminder that you can vote early. You can also check your registration, check your ballot, do all things voting on myvote.wi.gov. Make a plan to vote. If you already voted, tell three friends.
Yep.
Make sure the people around you are indeed voting. Because we got 1 week, people.
From today.
And then you get a break. Just think of it that way. You get a break for the rest of the year. You get a break from the political ads. You can choose to continue to follow this show, and we'll talk about all the politics and stuff happen. But as far as being inundated with millions of dollars worth of ads every time you turn on any device whatsoever, you'll get a break from that. So just one more big push for the last week to make sure you vote and make sure the people in your life vote. But I think we had Stephen call back to go to the top of the hour, or back to the first hour, what we were talking about.
We do. 844-967-2789. Stephen from Green Bay, thanks for joining us. What did you want to say about the next week's Supreme Court race?
Hi, Kristen and Dan. I thank you both for giving me the opportunity to bring this to your viewers, because I think it's very important. I heard this on a different radio show, actually. I know I listen to other radio shows besides yours. this is basically what they said. Justice Rogan Sacks' daughter is a Milwaukee County judge, and she actually released a piece. I'm reading it off the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that said, I have had the privilege of serving as a Milwaukee County Circuit Judge for nearly 14 years. I am also half of the only mother-daughter judicial duo in Wisconsin history. My mother, Justice Pat Rokensack, has been on the Wisconsin Supreme Court since 2003 and served as Chief Justice from 2015 to 2021. I am writing to share my opinion that former Justice Dan Kelly is unfit to occupy her seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Like my mother, I am a judge who follows the law and upholds our constitutional rights. I have served along Judge Janet Protasiewicz as a colleague in Milwaukee for almost a decade, and I know her abilities as a jurist and as a community leader. She is the better choice for voters this April 4th. So this is quite simply probably one of the most consequential Supreme Court elections that some of us may ever see in our lifetimes. Mm-hmm. And when the daughter of the justice that is currently sitting on the bench that's about to retire, who has a very conservative-leaning view, says, basically, don't support this Dan Kelly guy. If you weren't having red flags and alarms and beepers going off in your head, I think this is something that should definitely make you realize, like, okay, maybe this guy is not going to be good. And she goes on to say, you know, even she is not comfortable with all Janet's ideas, but it's better than the alternative. So I think people really need to think about this stuff when they're going to vote. And remember, you know, it's not just a pen and a piece of paper. It makes a difference in your life and everyone else's. So,
absolutely, Stephen. And this is completely speculative, but I like to imagine that Judge Rogensack talked to her daughter and said, look, I can't write the op-ed, so can you please write something and put it in there? But go ahead and do it, because he's nuts.
That is speculative, but I like that, Jane, that's what you're hoping for. And Stephen, I guess, you know, we talked about this some yesterday in regards to that article, and my feeling was, as someone who follows the news, I thought it was consequential what she wrote and what she decided to write. But do you feel like for the average person that carries weight if they were to read that?
I do. And when we say average person, I'm a pretty average person. I wake up in the morning, I hold an 8-hour job, I come home to my family. And I read that and yes, my mind was already made up because there's an obvious choice in this election. If there was ever an obvious choice, it's in this election. Honestly, when I read that, I was like, I'm making a good decision because a judge that, you know, is the daughter of Patience Rogensack, is sitting here saying, don't vote for the other person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm one of those people that actually, if you could probably talk me very easily into running for office. I'm very interested in that stuff, and I drive my wife nuts because the news is always on in my house. But yeah, it does make.
You should run for something, Stephen. I'm sure because you're up in Green Bay, right?
Yeah, I am up in Green Bay.
You should run for something. It's between school board that there's so, as we talked about with Aaron Wojciechowski in the noon hour, there's so many different things that you could run for. Cause I mean, we hear you call into our show. I know you call into other civic media shows. So I think you're more than just an ordinary average person, but as far as someone who's very involved and obviously paying attention to this stuff, I think I encourage you to run, but I love having your input and your call when you join our show. So thanks for the call, Stephen. But I think, you know, he's right. Like, it'd be interesting to see, and maybe I can sleuth around Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and see if I can get access to how many people read that article.
Ooh.
As far as, you know, having the consequence of someone with that kind of insight writing that and who it potentially either confirms because they already knew that they were voting a certain way, if it dissuades anyone. But, you know, as Dan said, the decision from the right to just really hunker in on the base and to, you know, have not the campaign, but groups supporting the campaign send text messages that are fear-mongering, like the left is transing your children, to try to reach the people who really believe that stuff and make sure that they turn out too, which is all the more reason that if you voted, have you told three friends to make sure they vote too? And so the more I know, I have probably texts that I got to send to all my folks to make sure that they've voted, remind them that they can vote early and all of the things that is actual like relational organizing beyond just getting on this microphone every day and talking about it. But actually the people that I am friends with and can nudge. Is there people you can nudge, Jane?
Pretty much. I think everybody votes
in your world,
in my world. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to think if any, I feel like at this point, because I am so vocal about it, one of the great things is getting the pictures or stickers or things back of people telling me that they voted, or just because they know that I care. Like literally the Wordle word, I think over the weekend. Do you play Wordle?
No.
Do you know what it is though?
I do.
As it took over the internet last year. So both Mike's whole family, I don't play every day anymore because I'm usually, I got a lot of things to do today.
You got a job.
But Mike's whole family, siblings, dad, stepmom, they all play every day. My parents play every day. And I think on Saturday morning on our family group text, his sister got it, sent her score or whatever, how many she got the word in. And then she cheated. She gave a clue that said, Kristen's really going to like this word. So Mike was up there trying to like guess which words, and he's like, is it candy?
There's a lot of possibilities.
Nope. A lot of possibilities. And it turned out the word was voter.
Nice. Nice.
And so I will wear that badge with honor that people associate voting and being excited that they voted and bragging to me that they voted. I will take those texts or those messages any day of the week as far as someone who's out there trying to get you as much information as I can in a fun way to get out there and vote because it matters, especially in this state.
Yes, it does. And although now that I think about it, Kristen, no one in my friendship circle would ever admit to me that they don't vote.
See?
So they would never tell me because they know I would lose my mind.
So that's why it's a gentle, like, would they lie to you if you asked them point blank, have you voted yet? Would they lie?
The potential exists.
Really?
Yeah, the potential exists, but I'm fairly certain that all my friends are pretty plugged in.
Yeah.
Because again,
I don't think anyone would lie to. Well,
it's just so they don't have to withstand your wrath.
And I wouldn't have wrath. I would have guilt. I would lay the Catholic guilt on hard of being like, well, I'd ask like probing questions as to why they made that, choice, which is probably worse. But speaking of candy, all right, I think this is no sour, haha, fun time hour. So we'll do a little bit of a break from Wisconsin Supreme Court, but we'll certainly be talking about this all week. Actually, a little plug for Friday. Scott Ross, long time. He was One Wisconsin Now, which has now, I think, been absorbed into A Better Wisconsin Together. But he has been a very outspoken, sometimes potty-mouthed Democrat on Twitter. But he was on the ethics board for a little while, and right now he's still involved, but not as involved as when he was running One Wisconsin Now. But he's going to be on the show on Friday, along with longtime Republican strategist Bill McCashin.
Oh, awesome. That will be great.
Yeah, so that's going to be at noon on Friday.
Scott knows he has to watch his mouth, right?
I have told him that. He's aware that it's radio.
Okay, because I follow him on Twitter, too. And, yeah, otherwise I'm going to be getting a whole lot of exercise on Friday.
A lot of dumb buttons. Bill, I think, worked in Tommy Thompson's campaign, but he's been a longtime Republican strategist. And so I think he's been on Devils before, but it will be the first time he's been on our show. And so I think having a conversation with them both as far as, you know, last minute things over the weekend, potential insider information that they have from either side. But I also am excited to ask Bill, you know, if Judge Janet wins, what changes for the strategy of the Republican legislature? Does it all of a sudden become more amenable to compromise? Is this kind of a wait and see? Like, does this change anything as far as the politics as we've seen them play out for the last, we'll say since 2018, since there's been split government? And it'll be interesting to see what he says about that. And maybe it's a wait and see, and he'll come back after she, knock on wood, wins, and can talk about it more later. But I think I'm really interested to see if Judge Anna Perosiewicz wins, how that changes the face of politics, if it changes the face of politics in the state, or if it has to be, if we were to actually get new maps, to see any major changes.
Well, and these things are going to take time. It's not like she's going to be sworn in and bingo, bango, you know, all this stuff comes up before the court and it's going to be decided in a week. And then everything's going to be perfect, because that's not going to happen that way.
I don't even think she would get sworn in until August.
Oh.
Because that's, if I'm remembering correctly, when she won in 2020, she won in April, and I think she was sworn in August. So it's not even an immediate vacancy that she would be filling.
It takes time.
It does take time. But, yeah, so calm down, Kristen, I guess. But I just, the politics side of it is really interesting to me, because it's not, as we know, it's not just morals and belief systems and representing what constituents want, which drives these decisions. It's often the game and personal politics and the long-term strategy of what is possible to get the thing that you want and yada, yada, yada. And so having a different court makeup for the first time since 2008 changes the landscape. It changes the game board. So we got one more break and we'll come back in just a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
With Ho Chi Minh, sip rice wine and chase him a gin. Won't take long, that's a miss my guess. I have you out of this doggone mess. I set up cable to Bolly and Mac. Let them know I'm coming back. Sit right down with Rockin' Nicks. Teach them both some pygmy tricks. You son of a gun, you.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. This is Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madden-Air. Jane, how are you feeling?
I am feeling great. What a fun hour. Joe was wonderful. Joe Salmon's
yeah,
talking
wonderful.
About dialects and stuff. And I just heard her new commercial that went out with a really good Wisconsin accent. I don't know who did that spot, but it was good.
Wait, which one? I was obviously distracted.
Okay, you were distracted. And never mind.
No, well, what's it for?
Well, it's encouraging people to advertise with us.
Oh, okay.
It's, you know, but it's yeah. It's called your mother, you know, just a scooch and stuff like that. So it's very Wisconsin. And one story I wanted to tell about my husband while we're talking about accents. When we first started dating and we both like old homes and we would be talking about neighborhoods in Milwaukee that had great old houses that we really liked. And he kept telling me about these houses on Island. There are these great houses on Island. And I'm thinking, Island? There is no Island Street that I can think of in Milwaukee. It was Highland.
Oh, that's funny.
No H's. Island.
Island.
It's on Island. No, it's not. It's H with a H.
Highland.
Highland with a H.
One of my, I think I've told this story before, so, but who cares? Because there's probably new people listening. But the person that I was dating before I met my now wonderful husband, who speaks with a Wisconsin accent, had a different accent because he was French and had a pretty thick French accent. And there would be things that I would look at him and say, I don't know what you just said. And we had an Alexa, and more times than not, because what's the most obvious question you ask Alexa? Do you have an Alexa? Do you have a smart speaker? So at least for me, the thing that I find it the most useful for is Alexa, what's the weather?
Oh, okay.
And she tells you what the weather is for the day and tells you how high it's going to be or whatever. And this is literally how I would end my stand-up, like my 8-minute stand-up routine. Cause I'd have some joke about, you know, dated a lot of different guys and found out the thing that works for me is someone who's 4 years younger and not from this country. And which also ultimately that wasn't true because I definitely dated someone who's very much from this country. Yeah. But he would say, Alexa, what's the wizard? And she would answer, the wizard is a 1989 film starring Fred Savage and like Christian Slater. And it's about this and this and this. And it would happen, I would say 9 times out of 10, she heard weather as wizard when he would ask. And it was always pretty funny.
Oh, that's hilarious. Did it drive him crazy?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Especially when he couldn't get it. He would ask the question again and she still couldn't understand him. But anyways, all right. Well, tonight it's interesting because I feel like the momentum and the disappointment of the men's Badger basketball team not making it to the NCAA tournament at first was a little bit of a gut punch. But now that they're in the semifinals playing tonight, I think people are pretty excited again. I know that we're going to go watch the game tonight. It's they're playing North Texas Mean Green at 6 p.m. tonight. And I don't know. I feel like people, if we were to win this game, knock on wood, and win the whole NIT, I know it's still not the big game, the big dance, but it would still be pretty cool.
That would be fantastic. Hey, anytime a Wisconsin team can succeed is good for everybody. It's good for all
of
us.
It is good for everybody.
Yeah, definitely.
And so, but yeah, you know, I think sometimes the NIT, it's, you know, people get down on it a little bit, but it's...
it's the lesser of the tourneys?
It is. I mean, there's a higher standard of your record and getting into the NCAA March Madness tournament than there is to get in the NIT. But there's some teams that don't get into either, right?
Right.
And so it's still to win or even get as far as, there's a lot of teams that haven't gotten as far as the Badgers have in the NIT. And so that is going to be 6 p.m. tonight. I know on some of the civic media, I wish I knew this off the top of my head, but we will certainly find the information, because I know some of the civic media channels to networks tonight are playing that. And so, but we are looking forward to playing that. I'm sure my family text thread will be firing out my dad and my brother watching that game.
No doubt.
But here is an interesting fact for the night. So the Badgers are a 1.5 point favorite heading into tonight's Final Four game against North Texas in the NIT. But the Wisconsin men's basketball team hasn't won four in a row since early January, and the Badgers are 3-2 in neutral site games this season, while North Texas is 5-2. Ooh. So could be a pretty good game. Okay, we just found it. So the WFHR is playing the game, WRCE is playing the game, and WLAK. So that would be Wisconsin Rapids, Richland Center, and Amory.
Perfect.
Are all playing the game tonight, or you can listen to any of those three stations on your civic media app if you don't live in those three areas. So go Badgers.
Yeah, go Bucky. Let's do it. That would be awesome.
That would be great. All right. Well, coming up tomorrow, Greg Bach is going to be here. So we're excited to talk to him. And then we're actually going to have Christy Johnson, who's from NextGen, which is a political organization for the next generation. And so they've created...
Are we going to put all the pressure on them again to win this election? I'm sorry.
No. Well, maybe. they've created a dating app of sorts. And I've heard this before. Like, I've seen this as far as people using Bumble and the dating apps to remind people to vote and just matching with people arbitrarily to just ask them if they've voted yet and to remind them to. It looks like they've systemized it a little bit more. And so we're going to be talking to her about that. And then in the afternoon, we're going to be talking to local Milwaukee comedian AJ Grill about some of him. He recorded a new album. And so we're going to talk to him about that. So tomorrow will be a very fun show, as it always is, with Greg Bach. But for now, stay tuned for the Chad Holmes Show or Dueling Tangents. But then come back tomorrow and we'll do it all again at 11 a.m. Thank you for texting. Thank you for calling. This has been As Goes Wisconsin. Hella good hair. Won't you come on over, baby? We can shake, shake, shake. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.